All right, it's good to see each of you in this service tonight, supporting these meetings, learning about why we hold to King James Bible. And so that brings us to the fourth major reason why we hold to the King James Bible is because of its superior doctrine. Yeah, this issue of the versions, modern versions, King James, it is a doctrinal issue. There are huge doctrinal issues involved here. And yet, it is said that there's no doctrine involved. Doesn't matter. Yeah, there's lots of differences, but no doctrine. That's what Robert L. Sumner, he was a fundamental Baptist evangelist. He had a paper. Can't remember the name of it now, but he had a paper he issued. And he said the rare parts about which there is still uncertainty do not affect in any way any doctrine. Yeah, that's what they say, but it's not true. And we give several lessons here showing that that is absolutely not true, that this is a doctrinal issue. Number one, the allegations that the Bible version issue is not a doctrinal one is commonly accompanied by a distortion of the actual word difference between the text and versions. And we talk about that and how that they minimize the differences and actually are not very honest about that. And then, number two, the allegation that the Bible version issue is not a doctrinal issue is a dangerous half-truth, in the sense that you can use a modern version to lead somebody to Christ and to build some basic Christian home. Yeah, there's enough truth there to do a lot of things. So in that sense, there's truth there. Number three, the allegations that the Bible version issue is not a doctrinal issue does not address the real heart of the issue, which is verbal inspiration. So we're not just talking about we want some ideas, we want some basic general right doctrine from our Bible. We want every word. That's what the Bible emphasizes. Deuteronomy 8:3, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That repetition of that. You live. What? Every word. And Deuteronomy 12, 28, 17, 18, and 19, chapter 17, 18, and 19, chapter 32, 45 to 36, and many other scriptures we give there. And then Jude 1, 17 in the New Testament. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. The words, plural. Need all the words. Give me all the words. I want all the words. Not just general doctrine. And sometimes just one single letter, just the change of one single letter can change doctrine. We use the example of Luke 2:14. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. That was announced by the angels. Did the angels sing? I wonder if angels sing. Yes, it does. In Job, it says they sing. But here it doesn't actually say they sing, but they said it. It was angels to the shepherds. Good news. For who? Toward man. I guess any man. Man. Yeah, sure. But not in the modern versions, like the American Standard Version. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased. Oh, that's different. I got to please him. Then it's good news. That's very different. What makes the difference? One Greek letter. We give it down here in this the bottom paragraph underneath the quotes from the versions that there is a significant doctrinal difference. Oh, wait. It's one Greek letter. Eudoxia or eudoxias. S. So just one Greek letter. Makes a magnificent doctrinal difference in that verse. So we need everything. We want everything. God has taught us to have a detail, think in the terms of details. When it comes to the Bible, details. You need to read the Bible carefully. You need to look at all the details, like the places, and use your atlas. But details, great. God teaches that going all the way back to the Old Testament and the tabernacle. And there's the hangings of fine twined linen and pillars of brass and pins of brass and sockets of brass and hooks and fillets of silver and chapiters of silver and the gate of blue, purple, scarlet, fine twined linen, and but not green. The gate 20 cubits long by 5 cubits high. All these details, detail upon detail, chapter upon chapter of details. Is it what's important? Every bit of it. Moses was not supposed to change any of it, and he didn't. He feared the Word of God, the details, the details. We want the details. We want the words. We want the jots and tittles. We want the details. And that's destroyed by modern textual criticism. If you get a Greek New Testament with the textual apparatus, it's called, the textual apparatus, and the United Bible Societies, they use ABCD to indicate various levels of certainty, like Jesus Seminar, but they're colors. And but it's ABCD, representing various degrees of, you know, is this word, should it be there or should it not be there? Let's look at everything and then let's put a label on it. A represents that the text is probably certain. B, that it's almost certain. C, the committee had difficulty in deciding. D, the committee had great difficulty in deciding. So that's what we're left with, A, B, C, D. I don't want A, B, C, D. I want all A's. I have all A's. There's no reason to question this. There never was any reason to question this. The people that have questioned this are not people I want to follow. It's all A's. But they've got A, B, C, D. And they like that. That's one of the attractions, I'm sure of it. That puts me in charge, and that makes me a scholar. Well, let me check this apparatus out. I don't have an apparatus as far as text goes. It's just all A's. But I can check this out, you know, and I can use this apparatus. I know what these, I know what B and Aleph means and all the D. I know what D means. And you know, I think it's pride. A lot of this, a lot of problem with it. Because I certainly don't want A, B, C, D. And thank God we don't have it. This was settled a long time ago. This thing of what was the Word of God and what was preserved, that's done. That was settled. Finished. All A's. But that's where they are. In 1985, when I was beginning early stages of my own research into this issue, and I was communicated with men like Dave. I was in Nepal. It was hard to communicate with anybody. No internet, no Skype, no email, no nothing. To even call somebody in the States, you had to go down to the telegraph office and book a call. And it was a big experience. And very hard. So I was communicating with these guys by letter. And most of them are dead now. And so this medical doctor found out in Nepal, missionary doctor, that I was doing this research and collecting these facts, and he came to my house and he said, I would like to know more about this subject. I'd like to know what you've learned. And we had some conversations and we communicated by mail when he went back to his hospital, which was not in Kathmandu. And so finally, and I gave him the book, but Edward F. Hills, I said, this book, this will help you. And PhD, Harvard, and got the credentials. Thought that might impress him, should. But anyway, he was also communicating with some of his evangelical friends in the States. And finally, he wrote the last letter to me. He said, I cannot concern myself with the figures, 8,000 or 2,000. So these are different figures of the differences, you know, between the text and whatnot. We've mentioned some of those. 8,000, 2,000. I just can't believe that Jesus wants us to be disunited in spirit because of these 481 words or even 2,000 words. There are weightier matters. One of these weightier matters is unity in the body of Christ. There you go. That's a good old evangelical. And 2,000 words? Yeah, that's nothing. Unity, that's something. That's it. That's where Christianity is today. We've seen how they've come to this place. In a summary, it's not even what the Jews of old believed. Look at this. This is a quote about the Jews from Herbert Miller, General Biblical Introduction in the Old Jews. The Jews that gave us the Hebrew Bible and preserved it for us, yes, the Jews cherished the highest awe and veneration for their sacred writings, which they regarded as the oracles of God. They maintain that God has more care for the letters and syllables of the law than of the stars of heaven. Yeah. And that upon each tittle, tittles are in Hebrew, not Greek, tittle, mountains of doctrine hang. They believe that every tittle of the Hebrew letter, there's mountains of doctrine there. Now that's a high view of the infinity of the Scripture. I do believe the Bible's infinite book. That's what they believe. He's describing what they believed and why we still have the Hebrew Bible. For this reason, every individual letter was numbered by them, an account kept of how often it occurred. In the transcription of an authorized synagogue manuscript, rules were enforced of the minutest character. You would not mess with the Hebrew jots and tittles. Which is why we still have the Hebrew jots and tittles. Yeah, but that was right. That all of the Word of God, He has magnified His Word above all His name. That was in their book of Psalms. Yeah, they got that. Even the Anglicans, 1863, here's what the Anglicans said. Anglicans, Church of England, today they believe nothing. Nothing. I was in London one Easter when Robert Runcie was Archbishop of Canterbury, and I was having a nice British breakfast, which is greasy everything. Probably why I had a heart attack. But I was reading the newspaper, the Times. And Robert Runcie's being interviewed for Easter, and they said, why did Jesus die? Whoa, is that a loaded question or something? Why did Jesus die? The Archbishop of Canterbury, the head of the Church of England, he said, I'm an agnostic about that. I don't know. Now, this is what they believed, though, in 1863. All our hopes for eternity, the very foundation of our faith, our nearest and dearest consolation are taken away from us if one line of that sacred book, that Bible, be declared unfaithful or untrustworthy. Thank you, bishops of the Church of England. But that's all gone. That's a bygone era. There's not a bishop in the Church of England today that would say this. A whole different era. Number four, the allegation that the Bible version issue is not a doctrinal issue ignores the fact that men of God and heretics alike recognized the doctrinal issue in the 19th century. Yeah, that both sides understood it then, that this is big time a doctrinal issue. These changes you're making in our Bible, they're doctrinal issues. And we give quotes again by Robert Dabney. He was a warrior. And a warrior. He wrote a biography. We're talking this evening about Stonewall Jackson. There's a warrior for you, but he was a chaplain in that. Yeah, a warrior, but he was a warrior for truth. We've quoted him many times. Job Burgon, we've quoted. And so on the side of the Bible believers, they definitely understood that this is a doctrinal issue. These changes you're making in our Bibles are doctrinal issues. And then the Unitarians understood it very well also. They understood it. We give a quote here from Harvard College. 1809, Harvard College transitioned to Unitarianism about that time, but 1809, they published an American edition of Griesbach, Critical Greek New Testament. Why did they publish that one? Because its textual criticism was a most powerful weapon to be used against the supporters of verbal inspiration. They knew what they were doing. They knew it was a doctrinal issue, a fundamental doctrinal issue. This is not a small issue. They knew that. The old guys knew that. And that's number five. The allegation that the Bible version issue is not a doctrinal issue ignores the fact that the doctrine of individual passages is changed by the omissions. Yeah, and we give the example. We give two. But the first one is Mark 16, 9 through 20. And we've already looked at it. If you remove those verses, 9 through 20, then you end in verse 8 with the disciples afraid, no resurrection, no victory, no salvation, no ascension, no go to the ends of the earth and announce the gospel. So for that passage, definitely some major doctrinal issue. And then, of course, Acts 8:37, which is one of the first verses you can look at if you want to know what text a modern version is based on, or a version. And a foreign version, we often go to here if we're looking at some foreign version and trying to figure out what text it's based on. Acts 8:37, because it's going to be omitted. We look at 1 Timothy 3:16, and we're going to see if God is there. We're going to look at Acts 8:37 and see if this verse is there, because it's removed from the modern versions. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch saying, "Here's water." Verse 36, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So the answer to that question is very important, but it's missing. It's taken out of the modern versions. In our Bible, it says, "Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Yeah, that's what you've got to do to be baptized scripturally. You've got to believe with all your heart. You've got to be saved. And what's salvation? To believe with all your heart. What's your heart? Your whole being. You got to believe with everything. Yeah. "Then thou mayest." He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And the gospel went to Africa then. But that verse is removed, so all you have is the question and then the baptism. Yeah, that's a major doctrinal issue there. Major doctrinal issue. Number six. The allegation that the Bible version issue is not a doctrinal issue ignores the fact that key doctrines are weakened by the changes in the modern versions. Yes, and we use the example of the deity of Jesus Christ. The modern versions, you can find the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ in the modern versions, but not nearly as easily and as powerfully as the received text in the King James Bible. And we give a key there to the versions that we use, the abbreviations, ASV, American Standard Version, etc. And so, we begin this, Matthew 8, 2, 9, 18, 15, 25, and 20, 20. And then Mark 5, 6. In all those places, the King James Bible says that they worshiped him. They worshiped him. But in all the modern versions, it says they knelt before him. And of course, that's not the same. It's not even a Greek issue, because the Greek text is the same. But for some reason, it puzzles me actually, but for some reason, all the modern versions remove the word worship there. Then we have John 1:27. And we give a study on that, but on the issue of the worship and kneel before. John 1:27, King James Bible. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched I am not worthy to unloose, is preferred before me, John the Baptist. Jesus was born after him, but he said he's preferred before me. And Jesus started his public ministry after him. And so he's coming after me, but he's preferred before me. But not in the modern versions. They leave that out. That's a very doctrinal issue. And that's because they are based on the wrong Greek text there in John 1:27. John 3:13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Yeah, we've gone through that already. There, that's the Son of God there. He's on earth and he's in heaven at the same time. And you can't say that about yourself. Only Jesus. But that's omitted. They take that out. John 8:59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And they have omitted that. And so that leaves it just kind of like he snuck out or something. He just walked through the middle of them because he's the Son of God. Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And the modern versions change church of God to the church of the Lord. Church of the Lord, which is the Greek, you know, problem with the Greek text. But the Arians, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will agree that the church is of the Lord, but it's not the church of God, that Jesus is not God. Jesus is a Lord, but he's not God. And the old Arians, it's a major doctrinal issue. Same is true in Romans 14:10. And where they change the judgment seat of Christ to the judgment seat of God. And the heretics, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, believe in the judgment seat of God, but they don't believe that Christ is the same of God, and that, anyway, we have our study there. It's a major doctrinal difference, major issue in regard to the deity of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. No doubt about who he is. But not in the modern versions. They removed the words, the Lord. Ephesians 3:9. God who created all things by Jesus Christ. They removed the words, by Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16. The word God is removed. It is changed to he. He. He who? He. So God, great doctrinal issue there. And then 1 John 5:7-8, the Trinitarian verse is omitted. Those are just examples. There's Jude 1:4, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the most magnificent testimonies that Jesus is God. And yet the word, they changed that to denying our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. The word God's, Lord God is gone. These are major, major doctrinal issues. We're going to stop there tonight. And the Lord willing, continue these studies tomorrow.